Hello, welcome to the English programme's presentation of A Ball at Pemberley. We are on to chapter 5 now, and for today, we only have the first part of this chapter. We haven't measured it, but we think this will be in sort of 3, 4, maybe 5 episodes, depending on sort of how slowly we sort of progress through. So we're going to start straight away with the first part, and we shall conclude chapter 5 and do the whole of chapter 6 tomorrow, as a minimum. If there's any more time, we'll even attempt tomorrow, Friday, to begin the next chapter, chapter 7. So, sort of, it's an aspiration, I do have to confess, but I'm not teaching tomorrow. I'm not in the university tomorrow, so I have plenty of time to devote to the Jane Austen project. Don't forget, you can get all the previous episodes by going to audioboo.fm/tag/pemberleyboo. So here we go now, the beginning of chapter 5. And as I say, I'm very honoured to have been invited to be reading these. But of course, all the credit goes to the people involved in the project who are actually writing it. I am merely sort of reading it out. And I am quite frankly in awe of the high level of writing that I find myself reading here. So here we go with the first part now of chapter 5. After a moment of contemplation, Elizabeth ascertained that the letter was from her beloved friend, Charlotte Collins. It was clear that the letter had been hurried, merely comprehensible as a consequence of her current temperament. "Dearest Elizabeth," it read, "an astonishing misfortune has fallen upon myself. Mr. Collins has passed away, unforeseen and forthwith. I am astounded. I am yet to learn the prospects for myself and for Longbourn as of present. I inform you with the assurance of your reliability as a friend in anguish, and it would be gratifying if you may keep this to yourself at this moment. Yours fervently, Charlotte." Mrs. Darcy was utterly aghast. What was to become of her cherished friend? Could this possibly be a blessing, concealed amongst affliction and torment? Indubitably, Elizabeth hoped that the latter was to be the fortune for Charlotte. A footman knocked and entered, approaching Elizabeth. "A packet, milady?" She blanched as she took it, fearing worse news. But being of prescient and composed mind, she set about soothing her features and, with a smile, begged the assemblage to excuse her forthwith while she dealt with these new responses to the ball. She hurried to the small salon, a room Darcy had papered in buttery stripes to alleviate the long Pemberley winters. Seating herself by the window, she breathed deep, aghast at her most recent news and dreading opening this new missive. She watched the gardener trim the roses and then looked down at the letter. She opened it, red wax from the seal falling upon the organdy of her gown. "Dearest Elizabeth," it read, "many years have passed since you and I have spoken, and you must forgive my lack. I have recently become informed that you are a married and a lady of standing, so I rely on the memories of your affection for me those many years ago. It seems but yesterday that we were young people of 17 and thrown into an odd companionship in Brighton with our Aunt Gardner and Mrs. Bennett. We have to stop there." We're reading this completely and utterly live, by the way, in case you're wondering, hang on a minute, what's going on there? Some rather big words there, weren't there, Pilar? Yes, I quite like indubitably. I quite like that one. Oh dear, this is the English programme.